questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters all around the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Dear brothers and sisters, if you have been following this series of shows, we are trying to answer the doubts and misconceptions on the Islamic beliefs which are received usually in the form of questions from different questioners from around the world. The question of the day is about the validity of some narrations and a hadith. Dear Sheikh, it has been asked that it's true that we almost 14 centuries have passed from Islam and we are talking about narrations and a hadith that has been narrated from Imams and the Prophet. So how can we trust all these hadith and let's say narrations after this long period of time? And you see, when we are going to narrate a part of history from 30 years ago, we have different forms of narrations of the same event, which has not even passed a long time from that, and even our fathers or grandfathers have yet witnessed those events. But we are talking about the hadith that came to us from 14th century ago. Are they validated and can they be trusted to actually tune our lives based on them? This is a question that has been asked by a respected questioner.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You see that about the authenticity or validity of the narrations that we have a lot of hadith corpuses and different collections of ahadith in different and various books of Shia school of thought or, for example, Sunni school of thought. We cannot ignore this huge heritage, Islamic heritage. You see that talking about the ahadith and narrations, whether from the noble Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, or his pure progeny, or, for example, for the Sunni school of thought about the companions of the noble Prophet or Tabi'in, we have a lot of numerous, hadith corpus collected these Islamic heritage.
Yeah.
Of course, these ahadith before the verses of Noble Quran, they are some source for understanding Islamic learnings and Islamic teachings. And of course, we have beside that wisdom and the consensus. But after all, these Quran and Hadith are two and main parts of the Islamic sources. You see that for checking the authenticity of narrations, of course, we have Ilmur Rijal.
Yeah.
You see, Ilmur Rijal talking about the single narrators of the, talking about the chain of the narrations. For example, Dhurara from Muhammad ibn Muslim, Muhammad ibn Muslim from other narrators, and so until it reached to the Ma'asum, infallible Ahlul Bayt, or for example, according to the Sunni school of thought, to the companions of the Noble Prophet or Noble Prophet himself. For example, we have Qurb al-Isnad for some of the hadith corpus. These Qurb al-Isnad, mostly we have, for example, three or less narrators till the infallible Ahlul Bayt. Mm-hmm. Meaning how close this Qurbul Isnad is to the infallible Ahlul Bayt. Of course, we have different ahadith or different chain of the narrations till the until it reaches to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam themselves. Yeah. You see that about this ahadith, this ilm al-rijal, as I said, and because it is very important, I just want to repeat myself.
Yeah.
This ilm al-rijal check single narrators of that specific narrations, whether that person, for example, was authentic one or liar, whether that person was, you know, was able to quote the exact version of narration or not, which we call it dhabt.
Yeah.
Whether that person was, you know, has this ability to remember that and to have the ability of tahammul al hadith, which means to have and to memorize this narration and to pass it on to another, you know, narrator or not.
Yeah.
And beside this ilm al rijal, we have ilm al diraya. Ilm al diraya talking about, again, chain of the narration, entire chain of the narration.
Mm-hmm.
Whether this narration is sahih, muwathaq, hasan, da'if, mursalat, different kinds of the... I'm not able to explain all the, you know, explanation for the ahadith. For example, which hadith is authentic or sahih? Which hadith is considered to be weak? Because we have different, you know, bases for that, you know, and different presupposition for whether this hadith is considered to be muwathaq or not. And what is the definition of muwathaq? What is the definition of hasan, mursala, maqtu'a, muzmara, and so on and so forth. Numerous explanation for a hadith. This is a responsibility of ilm al-diraya. And after that, this diraya checks the content of the narration and then goes to the tahammul al-hadith, which means the ability to quote the narration, okay? And adab naql hadith, which means the, you know, etiquette for quoting the narration. I just want to emphasize on the point that our dear questioner was not informed about the different sciences for hadith.
Yeah.
Hadith sciences. Mm-hmm. Because these sciences talks about the authenticity of the narration and the content of narration in a way to the extent that we become 100% sure that particular narration is authentic or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no shadow of doubt that particular narration is authentic or not.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. And how come about what the comparison that this person is making that says, for example, a part of history or event that happened 30 years ago, and there are different narrations of the same event, see? So which one is the most reliable narration of the same event is something that sometimes the people get stuck with that. So how can we tell this brother that the knowledge of hadith differs with the knowledge of, let's say, narration of the history of the, let's say, modern or even old time?
Even for the history that you mentioned, we have some ways for understanding that whether that's part of that history is authentic or not. For example, talking about the history of the Karbala or the what's happened in the land of Karbala about the day of Ashura and before that and after that, we have numerous books which has been quoted the story of Karbala about the massacre in that land. Okay, in a way that we become sure that because it has been quoted frequently, which we call it mutawatir, it has been frequently quoted, we become sure that that particular event has been, you know, occurred in that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and of course, in the historical point, we have a lot of example for that, in a way that we become 100% sure that that particular event was occurred.
Okay.
I want to say that in different, for example, in history, we have some ways for understanding of that. In hadith, we have different academic way, okay, wise and acceptable way for checking the authenticity of that narration.
You pinpointed some of the knowledges of hadith, like that of Rijal and the knowledge of knowing the validity and reliability of a hadith, and you talk about different forms of. Can you please briefly introduce these knowledges to get informed that, okay, there is some series of, let's say, processes that happens on a certain, let's say, word or let's say hadith that comes from the Holy Prophet to reach us. So it's not that easy to say, okay, this hadith is mutawatir, is accepted, and the other hadith is rejected. So this is not something that can easily be done. So it goes through a, let's say, lengthy process to reach the conclusion.
Exactly. You know, when you want to check authenticity of one narration, I remember that in the, you know, some scholar, they spend maybe some weeks
mm-hmm.
for checking the authenticity of one narration.
Yeah.
Whether this narration is authentic or not. Okay?
True.
They check single by single narrator of that, the chain of that narrator. Okay? And they went to the biography of that narrator. And they check even the, for example, descendant and the parents of that narrator. I mean, all things which are relevant to mm-hmm. that narrator, which we call it Ravi, in order to check whether that particular man was authentic one, can we rely on his saying mm-hmm. or not? I mean, it's yeah. not easy task.
Very
we should spend a lot of time and energy in order to understand whether this narration comes back to the, you know, an infallible individual or not.
Okay.
And this, I mentioned that this is a branch of science.
Yeah.
Maybe knowledge, maybe we call it, ulum hadith. And of course, here in Qom, at least, we know some of the institutions that are working on ulum hadith and the sciences related to hadith.
Yeah.
As I said, it has three branches at least. First of all, dirayatul hadith, I explain what does it mean, understanding the narrations. It has an explanation to that. And after that, rijalul hadith, talking about the narrators and the chain of the narration. And then we have rivayatul hadith, how to quote the narration, what is the etiquette of that, and so on and so forth.
Very true.
I want to say that if you want to become an expert
yeah.
and to understand whether this narration is authentic or not, it requires a lot of study.
So, supposedly, a hadith has been scrutinized by the experts of hadith, for example, belonging to a denomination, let's say the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt. Is the outcome and output of this group valid and also trustworthy for the other denominations to refer to? That is, whatever comes an output of, let's say, hadith sahiha, or correct hadith, or let's say reliable hadith, an authentic hadith. So can it be also accepted by other Islamic denominations, or only valid for the followers of the same sect?
Of course, basis and mabani, which we call it basis, for checking the authenticity of a hadith are different. As I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, we have, for example, in Shia school of thought, it has some scholars has been mentioned numerous ways and signs for the authenticity of the narrations.
Yeah.
And maybe these narrations and these signs are different from mm-hmm. the Ahlul Sunnah. Of course, for sure, to some extent, we have some differences. And these differences in basis, the outcome of that is, you see that there are different, maybe, for example, whatever is acceptable from Shia school of thought, maybe it's not acceptable from the Sunni school of thought, and vice versa could be, you know, possible. Mm-hmm. But after all, we have lots of commonality in even in the hadith sciences. We have a lot of commonality with the Sunni school of thought.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for explanations and scholarly answers to the questions that were posed here in this show. till our next show. I'll leave you in Allah's protection. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن